With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
She must belong to San Francisco. She must have lost her way. Posting a poster of Pancho and Cisco one California day. She says she believes in a Robin Hood and brotherhood and colors of green and gray. And all you can do is laugh at her. Doesn't anybody know how to pray?
Hey, hey, everybody, it's time for your Browns Friday Fumble!
Bowl upon it!
Don't try to pick it up and run. My name is Dave.
I am Dylan.
And we are here on a sadly not a Victory Friday. Streak is over, Dylan.
It's folded.
A lot to think about. A lot going on. This is a tough one, Dylan, because we were really right there at the end. You feel like you had your opportunities to win the game, and you didn't do it. And, you know, if you take a look at the stat sheet, you know, Amazon's been really pushing this thing that a lot of people are interested, and I think they're correct, that most people are interested in very obscure probability factors and distances and speeds. That's what they're really interested in football. You know, they're not interested in any sort of strategy or watching athletes perform things. They want to know the numbers, right? You agree. You're a numbers guy, right?
Oh, I'm just a ledgers, spreadsheets, all the things.
If there was a way they could do football that was just a spreadsheet, I wouldn't even watch it. I'd download it and peruse it. Like,
oh my god, they did, and the good ones would have macros.
Oh, pivot tables.
Oh, bro.
I'd have pivot tables in there to But anyway, yeah, Amazon's correct. I'm a numbers nut. You're a numbers nut.
Yep.
Like, I want to know how improbable it was that something happened, and the putting a number like 18% on something. Beyond the enjoyment of just seeing it happen, once you know how it shouldn't have happened, I love it even more.
Oh, like, there's a satisfaction there that you can't buy.
If you could just put that number value on it, it means so much. You know, it helps me really connect to a football team when I can know some made-up shit about them with numbers. So anyway, hashtag stat chat. As Amazon's been using, they want you to have a stat chat. That's what we're doing. So if you look at the numbers, Dylan, I mean, I know, you know, some of these old school football guys will tell you, well, the only number that matters is the score. But, what my book presupposes is maybe he didn't. Like, maybe that's not the most important. Like we outgained them yardage-wise, 531 to 493. We had no turnovers. They had one. We had 13 minutes more time of possession. Like, we dominated them in the running game, the kicking numbers, extra points. To me, this is a statistical victory. And like you and I have been talking about every week, this is what we've been, like, hoping for finally. Like, finally we got one of these.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, finally, look, they've 10 out of 10 times, I'm going to take Baker Mayfield at 72% accuracy with a loss over 45% accuracy with a win.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I need that extra 30%. That is one of those stats that we were just talking about.
Hashtag stat chat.
Quarterback rating, I mean, we're looking at an even harsher difference here, Dave. 122.5 in a loss
smoking.
To the Chargers.
That is smoking.
Versus 59.5 against the Vikings in that, frankly, disappointing win.
Yeah, very disappointing. You know, Ed, we talk numbers. We're having our hashtag stat chat. But nothing really affects the game as much as quarterbacks do.
You're telling me?
I mean, Lamar Jackson, MVP trophy winner, Lamar Jackson has proven it all season long, game after game. He stopped the refs from calling a delay of game penalty that would have pushed them back to a 71-yard field goal. He forced that fumble on Clyde Edwards-Helaire to beat the Kansas City football team. And he really pushed the line on that Blankenship kick against the Colts. I don't know if you were watching that, Dylan. Forced it wide. Yeah. You know, great QBs find a way to win, just like Lamar Jackson, MVP trophy winner Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, he's really set the gold standard, hasn't he? I mean, and it just kind of juxtaposes, you know, what did Baker do?
Yeah.
You know?
Hardly
that
anything.
That terrible pass interference on fourth down.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Why? It's fourth down. Why bother?
It's fourth down. What are you committing that penalty for? Look, he told the refs that the defensive holding, remember that, second to last drive?
Yeah.
Told him, hey, guys, this isn't a big deal. Encourage them to pick the flag up.
Yeah, I've never seen that before.
Who does that? I've never seen that. And then Dave, I mean, it might be a small thing to some people, but to football minds like us, we watch for this exact kind of stuff. He's over there, whispering in Jamie Gillen's ear, "Hey, take it easy. Hey, when you're punting it, go a little lower."
He like was quoting, Happy Gilmore. He was just like, "Just tap it," and that's what he did. He tapped all those punts. And Dylan, I know, like, it's tough. It's tough here. We're trying to have this hashtag stat chat, like we talked about, and
right.
To me, I guess I'm going to go ahead and do what Amazon does and put some statistical numbers on it. I'd say if you can get Baker up in that 80% accuracy in a loss, I think I'm probably 68% more likely to enjoy a game. And that's not insignificant. Yeah, wow. I mean, I don't know.
That's coming straight out of my pivot table. That's exactly the figure that I got, actually. You go to 81% accuracy, guess where I am, Dave?
Oh, hold on. Let me do some 10-key stuff here. Yeah, 81. You got it. Like,
yep.
I can't really be any more definitive than that. Time for a little bit of Browns news. This week, hitting the dark parts of the web at www.silkroad.com/darkweb/Browns for the darkest, deepest, darkest Browns news there is. And
yes, sir. Well, we were just talking about it, but look, talk of the town this week, Dave, is backup quarterback Baker Mayfield and whether or not he's putting us in a position to win games. Clearly, this is not happening. I mean, he had a self-described piss-poor performance in the win against the Vikings. And as we just described, I'm going to quote you directly, a piss-poor performance here against the Chargers last week. Hey, 1965 called, and they told me that 42 points is actually the minimum that you're going to need to score to win in this league. So maybe do something a little better next time.
Well, Dylan, you're right. First of all, let me start by saying you're right. Again, we had our statistical chat. 42.2 points is the minimum. You can have your stat chat all you want. But I feel like some stuff that's kind of recently come to light, and I don't fault you for not knowing this. I was in some pretty, pretty deep parts of the web. It was actually the intellectual dark web / NFL. And there's a theory about that that kind of explains all of that, all of this stuff. And this isn't stuff that's going to show up on Twitter or Reddit or even a Jake Burns Twitch stream.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now I'm you have piqued my interest. So what have you heard?
Well, sir, that was my intention. What I've heard, you're aware of Andrew Barry, and his puppet master, Sashi Brown. You know Andrew Barry. He's a little old genius over there at Berea. He gets guys on great deals, finds great talents, and loves himself a game of Ticket to Ride.
Yes, we all know this, and especially me, a great football mind. I know this. Yes.
Well, he, much like the Maxinistas who browse the racks over at Ross Dress for Less, they find designer clothes at rock-bottom prices. Andrew does not like to pay full price for NFL players, Dylan. He wants the best, but he wants it on sale.
Okay, yeah, like kind of like Nick Chubb's deal. Got him at a discount.
Team-friendly deal. Well, sometimes the thing you want, a.k.a. a quarterback, isn't making its way to TJ Maxx or Marshalls or even Home Goods, Dylan. Sometimes you got to go to Gabriel Brothers and look through the factory seconds and the damaged items. And what happens if there isn't a small hole or a small red mark on the garment you want? Well, you bring yourself a Sharpie, Dylan, and then you take it to the manager and you ask for the discount yourself. You say, look, buddy,
okay,
you see this mark here? That wasn't, this is, I'll buy this with this mark, but I'm not paying full price.
Dave, you've mostly been talking about retail and closeouts here for like, I don't know, like 15 minutes now. But here's the thing. We have already been sort of had our wrists slapped by our executive producer, Cram Lindler. He said we're not allowed to do the retail and closeouts podcast. So we got to bring it back to football.
Sorry. Sorry. Once I get TJ Maxx on my mind, I kind of lose myself.
I know.
Anyway, in this metaphor, Kevin Stefanski is the Sharpie and Baker Mayfield is a pair of super sweet Calvin Klein draws, right? He's taking a brown Sharpie in there and he's faking a skid mark in there and he's taking it up to the counter and asking for 50% off.
So hold on. So let me see if I'm tracking here. You're saying that Stefanski wants Baker to fail?
It's not here. That. I don't think Stefanski wants him to fail. I think that Sashi Brown, via Andrew Barry, wants him to fail and is forcing Kevin Stefanski to put Baker in bad situations to drive his value down. He wants to pick up this QB at a discount and then extend the Browns' Super Bowl window by another 5 years.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, that actually might work out really well because, I mean, look, our Sandejo window closed.
Yeah.
It just opened up for Indy for God knows how long. It's
however many years he's going to be making late, questionable illegal hits down there in Indianapolis. And you know,
and
this
we
is,
need a window.
Yeah. And you know this is breaking Kevin Stefanski's heart. He loves Baker Mayfield. And he's got to painfully watch this happen like Alfred in the Batman movies. And it's tough. Yeah. You know, hashtag StatBat. Anyway, I'm not saying it's ethical or moral, but from a football standpoint, I think it's kind of what needs to be done. Like, and Baker's making plenty of money from those Progressive commercials. He's not going to miss, you know, the money, you know?
You're right. You're right about that. Look, this is a huge accusation, though, Dave. I mean, it does make a lot of sense, but I got to talk about the burr under my fur here for a minute, okay?
All right. You know, hey, this is Browns News brought to you by the intellectual Browns Dark Web, so fire away.
Okay, Dave, it's OBJ. It's always OBJ, okay? Look, how he can take up a roster spot on this Browns team get one single catch and have obviously zero influence in any other aspect of the game. I have no idea what we're doing here.
You know, okay? Dylan, I see what you're saying. Again, we just spent like 12 minutes talking about stats. I understand that stats are what matters. Hashtag stat hat. I put on my stat hat and I am watching this. But, you know, there's a lot more that a wide receiver does that doesn't show up on the stat sheet. He blocks. And you know what? Let's take this example from the Chargers game. He clearly drew three defenders and left nobody on Hollywood Higgins on that touchdown pass. He's clearly showing an influence on the game.
Dave, I got to take you to the stat mat right now. If that's all it takes, why not get a cheaper wide receiver with a similar build, obviously, put him in an OBJ jersey?
Actually, that might work. That could work.
Look, I'm just so tired of the Browns not trading, straight up cutting this guy. I think that it's time to resort to some just basic reverse psychology here. Andrew Berry, Browns, Sashi Brown, keep OBJ. Give this guy an extension. Pay this man. That is what we want as fans, as the media, as Clevelanders. Pay this man.
All right. My prediction last week, way off. Or wait, I don't even remember what it was. But it was probably way off. I'm sure I had the Browns winning. So let's take a look this week. We got the Arizona Cardinals down there in Arizona. But they're coming up here. Cold weather game for them. You know, they're used to 100-degree heat. They're not going to be used to playing out in the elements of sunshine, which is predicted for the game. They're used to playing out in sunshine, but harsher sunshine, right?
Right.
So obviously, they're going to be a little chilly, a little shivery. We're going to be able to run the ball. I say Browns win 50-0.
Hmm. Very good analysis there. I think you're absolutely right. We're going to have a cold weather game, set, you know, mid-70s, and going to be to last week, a low-scoring affair, 26-17, Browns over the Cardinals.
All right, I'll take that.
Hey, this is Hugh Jackson, and now it is time to know your foe. Back to you, Dave and Dalen.
Hey, guess what? We got an uncommon opponent again, so it's time to take a look at this Arizona Cardinals roster. They wear red, they wear white, sometimes they wear black. Let's take a look. And first up, wide receiver AJ Green. Wait, that AJ Green? Seriously? What the hell?
Star of Soul Plane, one of the original kings of comedy, DJ Humphreys.
Stinky left guard, Justin Pugh.
He'll come in after the game is over. Coda Martin.
Star of Ghostbusters, Rodney Hudson.
Man, that time Jeff Garcia's girlfriend, Carmela DeCesar, attacked his ex-girlfriend, Kristen Hine, at a nightclub in 2004. Wow, man, that was really Max Garcia.
Played Betty Draper on Mad Men, Josh Jones.
Kyler's brother, who only got the backup tackle job through nepotism, Justin Murray.
Max Williams? Wait, that Max Williams? Seriously? What the hell?
Darrell Daniels, or is it Darren Darnells? Derek Darnells? No, wait. Daryl Daniels.
Minor heel character from a 3-episode arc of The Wonder Years, Chris Stiefeler.
Ambient running back, Brian Eno Benjamin.
Starting quarterback, Kyle Murphy.
Captain of the Millennium Falcon who flew out of Deep Space Nine with the Rosinante, Captain Christian Kirk.
Whiteout, DeAndre Hopkins. Wait, that DeAndre Hopkins? Seriously? What the hell?
Backup quarterback, Colt McCoy. Wait, hold on. That Colt McCoy? Seriously? What the hell?
Dylan, I usually don't like to put analysis in the roster segment. It's just about the names. But if the Browns can't get penetration, they're going to have to chase Edmonds the whole game.
Running back James Conner. Wait, that James Conner? Seriously? What the hell?
Now on to the defense. Defensive end J.J. Watt. Wait, that J.J. Watt? Seriously? What the hell?
At defensive end, Michael Dogbed.
Star of Martin and one of the original kings of comedy, Rashard Lawrence.
Full House Cowboy, Tanner Vaquero.
Antonio Hamilton, Antonio Hamilton. Yeah, we did it for two different people, okay?
We got a backdoor bandit coming through. Dennis, guard the deck.
We are not silver, excuse me. Marcus Golden.
Kylie is giving us fits.
Outside linebacker, Victor Demoko.
Mumford's dad, Chris Banjo.
Space Wizard, Zaven Collins.
Harvard University Professor of History of Art and Symbology, Robert Alford.
Gas Station, Tanner Valero.
Defensive End, Jack Crawdad.
Goonies star, Corey Peters.
When you're excited to watch Blue Bloods and Jalen's running late, Jalen, time's on.
When you're excited to watch a second episode of Blue Bloods and Delonte's running late, Delonte, time's on.
When you're excited to watch the iRobot and Marco is running late, Marco, Will's on.
When you're excited to play the new simulator game and Isaiah's running late, Isaiah, Sim's on.
When Charles forgot to turn the laundry over before bed, Charles, washing's done.
When Tay tries to pull a fast one, Tay, go on.
Bread with a bunch of crunchy shit in it that it tastes absolutely terrible. Ezekiel Bread Turner.
When DeBaker makes the cookies bad, you boo DeBaker. All right, Dylan, we got a little old friendship rivalry here coming up this Sunday. Old pals, Baker Mayfield and Kyle Murphy, old pals from Oklahoma, roommates, Dylan, is that true? I read roommates.
Yeah, roommates. Roommates at the Oklahoma of University State College.
Planted that flag, still not forgiving him for that, but, you know,
They both won a damn Heisman, Dave.
They both won a damn Heisman. They're so similar in so many ways. They're great friends. And
top draft picks, both of them.
Both of them, same university. You know what? There's a lot of stuff that's similar about them. And I'm going to go ahead and point a few of them out, Dylan. And
yeah, I got a couple myself actually.
So, first of all, these guys are both always showing up 15, 30 minutes late everywhere. Like, you can't, like, you got to tell them an earlier time. They're always so late.
Wait, Dave, I think Baker is actually, he's like habitually punctual. You remember that episode of School of Hard Knocks when he starts showing up at like 5 a.m. every morning?
Oh, yeah, you're right. That's weird. Well, anyway, which one, what do you have?
Well, these guys both have Androids. Okay, so whenever someone likes or loves a picture or a message in the group chat, their phones send out like this annoying text to the rest of the group that just like, Dave likes blah, 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 this picture, an image.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Actually, I just saw on Instagram, Baker just picked up the new iPhone 13.
Oh, okay. So he's on blue bubbles.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
One thing I do know, definitely both these guys are this way, and it's a little unfortunate, but you get these guys to a grocery store, neither of them is going to return their cart to the cart corral. They just leave them in the parking lot next to their F-150.
Actually, Dave, I gotta jump in one more time. I actually saw Baker at the Heinen's in Rocky River the other day. This guy was returning like four people's carts at the same time. He was like going around just, you know, getting them, gathering them up.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, but, you know, in terms of similarities, both of these quarterbacks, these Heisman-winning quarterbacks, they love to play fish live streams. You know, you've seen these shows they've been streaming?
Yep.
Look, they'll play them through every party that they host. And I've even heard that Kyler, he's actually doing it with Dead and Company shows, which, you know, whatever.
Oof.
That dude just can't read a room, I don't think.
You know, I heard the same rumor, and then I kind of looked into it, and I don't want to jump down your throat on this. I don't want to be the Will Actually guy. I don't want to mansplain to you, Dylan. But actually, Baker likes to listen to live fish on his own. He knows it's not really for everybody, and everybody's not into that. And if you ask him, and that's the key thing here, you ask him, he's not going to force you into some random Pepsi Center set from 2015. He's going to say, listen to Billy Breathes, check back in with him when you're finished, and you'll go from there. Okay, even though they both went to school in Norman, Oklahoma, these guys just absolutely love A1 sauce. They just, as soon as they get a steak, they just don't even taste it. They just slap this A1 all over it.
Wow. Okay. I actually saw Baker over at Blue Point the other night, and that man had a medium rare Delmonico, and he was just taking it straight. And also at the same time, I overheard him telling Emily, "Hey, if you're trying to add some enjoyment to maybe a less than ideal cut, maybe you don't want to make the chef feel bad. Sure, throw some A1 on there, but he would never ever ruin a good cut with it." But, I mean, look, these guys are really, I mean, still really, really similar, Dave.
Yeah, so
top
similar.
Top draft picks,
yeah.
Both of them. They both love soccer.
I'd heard that.
Well, they try to go to soccer matches whenever they can. And they'll also both show up just with their Manchester United jersey, no matter what other actual teams are playing on the pitch.
Yeah, I mean... Baker did say in an interview that the Man U thing was something he was, you know, he was kind of into as a kid. He didn't really understand what was going on, and he kind of got over that in his teens. But he said now that if he isn't a supporter of either team, he'll just wear like a normal shirt. Both of these guys love to do home renovations. That's, I mean, the similar, mm-hmm. They were roommates. They shared a dorm. They renovated the dorm. Right. And you know what? They also both, if you ever look at the renovations they do, they come across these crusty old wood floors like in a mid-century or like an early century house, man. They're like, hey, call the carpet barn. We're putting down some comfy carpet.
OK, so I know Kyler loves to put carpet over hardwood floor. Baker, actually, and I have, you know, empirical evidence for this. Baker was on an episode of Good Bones, and he told them that it doesn't take a ton of work to get those classic wood floors shining again. You don't need the carpet. Just put a rug, an area rug. And look, but that still doesn't change the fact that these guys are so similar.
Two peas in a pod.
They're both fitness buffs, obviously. They're you know, leading. They're leading their teams to winning records, and they love to ride their road bikes in tandem on the road during peak traffic times.
They're out there taking up the full lane, right?
Oh yeah, full lane, and then they get mad at you and tell you about the right of whatever. They will also ignore stop signs and traffic lights, just, you know, whenever they want, wherever they want. They're just going where they're going to go, and that's it. You got to guess.
Actually, and I only know this because I saw it there last year at the bye week. We were at a fall festival. Baker just rides on the towpath. I mean, I was at Zelay's. He stopped in to get some cider. And he wasn't talking to me. I'm not going to tell you that I'm talking to Baker Mayfield. He was telling somebody that he's like, well, there's a path just for bikes. Why would I be on the road? All right, everybody. Thank you for listening this week. Thank you to Kerry Ryan for our theme. Thank you to my second favorite Twitter follow, Gage. You know who you're behind. Thank you for some episode input this week. Dylan, anybody to thank?
Yeah, John Mayer for stepping into Dead & Company and just really making those songs sing again.
Can't argue with that in the slightest. Yeah, in conclusion, you should follow us on Twitter at Friday Fumble. My name is Dave.
I am Dylan.
And this has been your Browns Friday Fumble.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying, yeah. Fun. Looking forward.
The Korean War has sadly been known as the Forgotten War, but half a century earlier, the United States was locked in a bloody conflict in Asia that's been all but erased from the history books. Hi, I'm Alex Hasty, the host of Ohio vs. the World, an American history podcast on the Evergreen Podcast Network. In our newest episode, we speak to experts about the Philippine-American War, America's first Asian counterinsurgency conflict. The heroes, the villains. We'll discuss President McKinley, Admiral Dewey, the vicious brutality of the fighting, and the scandals and war crimes that nearly sunk Theodore Roosevelt's presidency. Check out our show, Ohio vs. the World, on the Evergreen Podcast Network for our new episode about America's most forgotten war. Now back to the show.